can describe how I'm approaching this morning as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel tired, but like also awake. I feel stressed, but also taken care of.
Mm.
It's a weird fucking sensation going on, man.
Yeah, it's in the air. I mean, I feel like it probably has been in the air for the longest time. But like, it's just that weird, like, I'm not, like, who sang that song? I'm not sick, but I'm not well. Harvey Danger, I believe. It's like a pop punk song, or yeah, like a pop punk song. But he says, I'm not sick, but I'm not well, and I feel fine because I'm in hell.
Mm. Shit.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, that shit's pretty, like, for a pop punk song, that shit's pretty dope and pretty deep.
That shit is deep, yo. I'm feeling that.
Welcome to the second episode of this, our first season of the What is Black podcast, the podcast where we break down what it means to be a black creative in an attempt to defy the myth of a black monolith and have dope conversations with each other in the process. The world is a veritable shit show right now. That's undeniable. I mean, you could deny it, but you'd either be wrong or you're directly benefiting from all the shit that's showing. Either way, you probably stink. In my attempt to understand humanity better and really figure out why ids are so attracted to egos, I've developed this idea/theory that humans are afraid of three things above all: fucking up, admitting they fucked up, then fixing the fuck up. Fucking up. Making a mistake. Being so bold as to put yourself out there and making a statement or doing an action that you think is right or that you can probably get away with, and ultimately, no, you're not. You can't. You were wrong for that. Admitting the fuck up. The hardest thing to do is simply acknowledging that you made a mistake. That, oh shit, come to Black Jesus moment when the planets align or you get told about yourself and you have an epiphany of, I was wrong for that. Fixing the fuck up. Swallowing your pride and actually doing something so that you don't fuck up again, or set an example for others so that they don't fuck up in the way that you fucked up. I mean, in my head, it's pretty simple, but the world we live in is much more complex than in my head. But that's just me. What the fuck do I know?
What's up, everybody? I'm Jason McCoy, and I never yielded. And as you can see, I am not dead. Rest in peace to Chadwick Boseman. Also, rest in power. We lost a great creative. I guess this week he succumbed to cancer. That's something like I know I've had to deal with personally. So I know how rough that was. But he was still out in the streets making movies and entertaining us. So he was a real one. He is a real one. Still with us. Now, let's introduce the sistren, Sheba. What's up, Sheba?
What's up, Jason?
Not much. How are you?
I'm okay, yo. I appreciate your intro to this segment. And I do have to just take a moment to acknowledge Chadwick Boseman, too, because, you know, not just because that's a soul lost. Well, I mean, it's not a loss, right? We've gained so much with that presence on this earth.
Right.
I had a unique opportunity to work with Chadwick when I was a freshman at Pitt.
Oh, shit.
Yo, I still have his play Hieroglyphic Graffiti.
Oh.
And that play was transformational in my understanding of self.
Mm.
My understanding of the life and death cycle. Understanding the Ankh even more intimately, and being able to feel like someone wanted your energy around.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that for me was the first time in my becoming an adult years that I really understood the energy and power of what we as human beings bring to the table in terms of kinetic energy, right?
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, this dude was on fire.
Yeah, he was a teacher. Like, a lot of people may not know, but, like, he was out here teaching.
Absolutely. I learned a lot from him in that semester that I got to really get to know him. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, his play was so powerful, taking a look at everyday life and consciousness and the elevation of consciousness for the betterment of your actual everyday fucking life.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And so I'm just giving thanks for his presence. And I'm giving thanks that I got to experience him in this liberty for the short period of time that I did. I'm giving thanks. And shout out to the essence and energy of Dr. Lily, who has passed away. She was the reason that he came into this city. And she was the reason that I even had an opportunity to get connected to this soul. And so I want to elevate those two ancestor spirits in this time and just acknowledge the blessings and offerings that they offered humanity.
No doubt.
Yeah. All right, so I'm doing all right, though. But that's the start.
All right, cool. Like, as long as you're doing as long as you know all the shit happening, you're doing all right. I'm doing all right. We're doing all right.
Man. We all right.
Cool. So why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself and the work that you produce?
Oh, Jason, this is always a very tender space of communication because I myself am the art, right? I have come to realize that I myself, in the way that I move, talk, and engage, am the art. And so what I produce tangibly, I like to do a lot of upcycling. So I like to take t-shirts, cut it up. First of all, swag out your t-shirts. That's just one. So you could just be swagalicious with your t-shirts. But then I also like to turn t-shirts and denim and things into jewelry. I love making upcycle DIY projects. I am an artist educator. I am a poet coming back into the world, like bringing my work into the world. I'm an anti-racist yoga practitioner, a humanizer of this human experience. I like to think of myself as a heartivist, right? Centering all my work from the heart. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that that is the core functioning factor of like really getting through the fuckeries that we deal with on a very consistent basis, systemically, interpersonally, and so forth. So my artwork is abundant, yo. I will take some shit, flip it around, and make something out of it. I'm a creative consultant. I like to work with souls who have ideas and support the manifestation of those ideas. I like to nurture. So maybe a life doula is one of the things I want to throw out there too, right? Supporting life and bringing things to life. So it's a holistic, very juicy and abundant, ever evolving and changing art form that I engage in.
Mm, holistic with the W at the beginning. So
all of it.
Whole,
yes.
representing whole. The whole.
Yes, Jason.
And being istic. I don't know what that means.
I'm here for the instinct, yo. No, but I'm here for it, yo. It feels juicy.
So I like to start off every podcast with a very important question. And this might be the most important question that you get asked of all questions that you'll ever be asked. And I want to know, are you ready for it?
Oh, shit. You got me extra thinking about this question. So I'm definitely ready.
Okay. How dope is my lasagna?
Yo, Jason, come on, man. Why you want to bring that up during this interview? Yo, people who are listening, souls who are listening, Jason's lasagna is fucking amazing. I'm trying to get another pan or five, you know what I'm saying, before I give birth to my soul vessel that is inside of this body. You got me drooling right now. I'm not even sure if I can continue this conversation.
Sorry, I didn't mean to, put you in that headspace.
Nah, that's cool. You know, I'm drooling a little bit, but I can keep going. I'm going to fight through it. And I'm looking forward to my couple of pans. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, they're coming. I just got to, get in the right headspace to make it. You know, it's I go by what the universe tells me, basically. It's just like if the universe is just like, Jason, it is time. Make the lasagna. Then I'm like, yes, universe, I shall.
And that's when you know it's going to be the most delicious, right? Because that's when spirit moving through you to make that lasagna. And so I'm here for that, yo.
Cool. Yes. Well, we coming soon, especially since it's getting cold, getting colder out soon. So, well, hopefully, fingers crossed.
I need a shout out to that question. That is one of the most important questions of all time.
So, I heard you just mentioned it in when I asked you to tell the people about yourself. But what does it mean to be a heartivist, and how do you spell it?
Lowercase H E, capital A R T I V I S T, artivist. Right. So really embodying the spirit of recognizing that there is inequity in this world, that we are inheriting systems that devalue Black lives and elevate whiteness as a principle, as an archetype. A heartivist is a being that is very present to literally the reclamation of themselves, right? Acknowledging and honoring that I know, regardless of what is offered to me, at whatever intersection of life I am resting at, whether it is my womanhood, whether it is my Blackness, you know, at any intersection, that I know that I am grounded in a place of ancestry, that I am grounded in a place of thoughtfulness, love, that I am grounded in a place of equity. And truly, I'm grounded in humanizing the experience, not just for myself, but for all who I engage with and those who I don't directly engage with. So a heartivist is literally engaging the soul work. You know, my big sister, Felicia Lane Savage Friedman, shout out to Yoga Roots on Location. You know, she really supported me in recognizing that I wasn't too much. Mm. And in that recognition that I was just enough of me, has offered me space to even be able to orate. And that's another part of my artistry. I'm an orator. Mm. And I've even been able to orate myself, my work, who I am, because there was a time when I didn't recognize that everything I was doing was coming from a soul-centered space. I felt like it was too much because people were like, yo, you tripping, you always doing extra, you out here, you wildin'. And I'm like, that's not wildin'. That's just being who I am at the foundation of it. So artivist is really reclaiming your core, like showing up in yourself and showing up in your body and trusting in yourself and your body and knowing that it's coming not just from you, but from your ancestor spirits. You know what I'm saying? Soul to soul connections from ancestor spirits and those who are walking this earth with us. So it's a reclamation and reconnection to that identity for me. That's how I roll with it.
Right.
It could be something for others. Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like it's like recognizing it. Part of it is also like recognizing that difference, and like that difference variety is beautiful. But at the same time, we all kind of have like a shared elements or like a shared thread.
Yes.
And so it's like trying to, it's like that search or that journey, that trying to find that shared thread throughout our, like what makes us all different, and kind of like reconnecting, almost making like a gumbo.
A fucking bomb ass gumbo with different parts. And that's the thing, Jason, is I used to not even be able to claim artistry because I can't draw. I can't draw a straight line. I can't draw a square. I can't draw a heart. I got to get like, you know, the extra pieces to help me trace it out right. You know, and I thought that's what an artist was. And so I literally did not allow myself to embrace myself and my offering because I was clear that it wasn't what everyone said it should be. Mm. When I say everyone, I mean the larger collective consciousness that has been curated and telling us what is acceptable to be and not be. So not even the truth, right? Just a fucking veil, this fucking veil. And so in my heart of this work, I've been able to understand that every soul has something to pour into the collective consciousness. Like you said, that gumbo is such a beautiful metaphor because you might have chicken, you might have alligator, you might have beef, you might have all vegetables. It just depends on where you go, where you're from, what the culture is. Mm-hmm. And it'll change up the seasoning and the spice depending on the energy of the space around you. And so I recognize that what I have to put into the gumbo is just as delicious and fucking nutritious as any other genre or form.
Yeah, it only makes it that much more savory.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Cool. So moving into like practice, you are a practitioner of yoga.
Yes.
So yoga is a practice and philosophy that goes all the way back to pre-Vedic India, and some might even say even further and farther from there back.
Yes.
It's been colonized and commodified by the West to death almost. How do you center Blackness in a practice that has been over-appropriated by Western, and by Western, you can read that as white culture?
Is it? This question is juicy as fuck. And I say that because I'm sitting at the intersection of not just Blackness, but fatness, okay? Mm. So I'm a fat Black woman, as the world would describe me. And one of the things for me is first decolonizing my consciousness, decolonizing the practice of yoga. So where people get it fucked up in the West is that when we see yoga, we see the asanas, the physical practice, right? The movement of body. And where they get it fucked up is that this has become a form of exercise that is predicated on how flexible your body will become, predicated on how much you practice means that you are, you know, if you're in your yoga practice, then it automatically centers you and calms you. But the yoga that I have been trained in, that I have practiced, you know, under Felicia Lane Savage Friedman and under the souls who have come from her lineage, it centers one, our connection from mind, body, consciousness to the universal energies that exist and reside around us. So when I talk about decolonizing, it's taking a look at the whole fundamental practice of yoga, looking at Raja Yoga as the 8-limb pathway, right? Being able to sit with myself and address how I talk to others, the harm that I cause myself. So one of the things for me, when I think about centering yoga, I said the universe wants me to fucking breathe. If the universe wants me to breathe and allows my body to make space, that means my presence is invaluable. And so I center that part. And when we talk about centering Blackness, we are literally talking about centering our identity as human fucking beings. And that is the practice of yoga. Yoga does not belong to the West, and it does not even belong to the indigenous origins of that culture. Our indigenous ancestors, who were the curators of this practice, who wrote it down, who created the asanas, who created the breath work, they tapped into the universal collective and created a beautiful foundation for all of humanity to have access. And that is powerful. Being Black and being a yoga practitioner is honoring ancestry, honoring the origins, acknowledging the origins, and knowing that we are deeply connected to the origins. And we are deeply connected to ourselves and one another. And so for me, when I think about my yoga practice and I think about centering Blackness, I think about the souls who are out here doing the fucking work. You know what I'm saying? So we already shout out Felicia. I need to shout out Yoga Motive with Alicia. Alicia does a lot of fucking work with bringing all bodies to the table. Radical acceptance of your body in a world that tells you you are ugly, you are disgusting, you are fat, you don't belong here. You're the last person to get picked on a TV show. You know these fucking shows where they have like the kids playing the games and the fat kid is the one chosen last because everybody's sleeping on a fat kid?
Yeah.
That's what yoga felt like to me when I would go to a studio and be like, well, why is this instructor trying to adjust my body? And you got bitches in the front who are like overextending their legs, locking their legs in their knees, causing their physical body harm, but that was celebrated. Right? The further you can go, the more you can push yourself, that is celebrated. But yoga is a practice of getting yourself into alignment, which is what? Eternal, Jason. Mm-hmm. It is fucking eternal. How your body shows up today is not how your body will show up tomorrow. It is ever evolving. And so when I think about the practice of yoga and I think about the practice of centering Blackness, I feel like the way we do that is going to be complicated and complex.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a matter of radically accepting who we are, how we have been curated in this world, and not accepting the ideological perspective of who we are, right? Because it's not about being Black. It's not about being white. It's about honoring the ancient teachings that tell us that we are all deserving of breath and body alignment. That tell us if we wanted to tap into the cosmic energy, if we want to be one with universal law, if we want to be one with humanity, that we can offer ourselves space. Yoga is offering yourself space to be and exist, not just in movement, but in thought, in consciousness, in manifestation of energy with one another. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. So,
yeah, healing up the roots is the first thing. We have to acknowledge ancient Kemetic yoga. We have to acknowledge our indigenous folks in India who have curated this practice and kept it sacred for years, centuries, so that we can even benefit from it today. That's the problem with westernized yoga practices. You got the fucking Buddha, but you don't know who the Buddha is. You have these fucking statues that you put on the floor that are supposed to be elevated above the heart. It's literally not giving homage to the indigenous origins of the practice and claiming that shit like it's yours. What the fuck is goat yoga?
I don't know.
What the fuck is that, Jason?
I don't know, but I know.
You got goat shit all over people. Like, what is this?
I know all it takes is one white woman, and that's it.
Yo, let me tell you, the most insidious thing I experienced with yoga is this bitch on fucking YouTube saying that if you practice yoga, you have to be a vegetarian.
Ugh.
And you have to be skinny. You can't be a yoga practitioner if you are not a vegetarian and if you're not skinny.
Yeah, you hear that shit. And see, I'm just like, what the fuck? Shut up.
It's not even logical.
No. It's like, if I were to practice yoga and I'm hungry and all I had was like a ham sandwich and a like apple, it's just like, I know me. I need to sustain myself. The apple alone is not going to do it. I'm probably going to eat both.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's like what yoga has become in the West is something from a space of privilege and access, right? It's something that has been turned into a business, a financial commodity, as opposed to a way of living your life. I have seen so many yoga practitioners in the studios that I've visited in Pittsburgh who are violent in their expressions towards Black people.
Explain that.
Violent. Yo, Carrie and I went to this yoga studio and Carrie opened the door. I'm walking out. This white woman rushes past us and almost knocks me down. And I'm like, yo, this is a fucking yoga practice. Like, slow your ass down. Be present to what you are trying to offer yourself. And that might be judgment on my part to say that this person coming into this space can do the work of slowing themselves down to be present. So that possibly is judgment. But I also acknowledge that if you push past the person, there's a word that you can offer. Pardon me. Excuse me. My bad. Yo, I didn't see you. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. And when I addressed it with her, the owner of the fucking studio was so inappropriate. She tried to justify the presence of this being by saying, yeah, she's usually like that. But after class, she's a doll. She's amazing. but why would you tell me, another person in that space, that's violent. Why would you tell me that this person is tight as fuck, but after the practice, they're okay? You shouldn't be having that conversation with me. As an owner of that space, you should be curating balance for all of us. You should be facilitating, you know, there was some harm caused. You may not have been aware of it, but this is what transpired. And as a soul to soul, we can acknowledge, yo, you didn't understand it at that moment. That's cool. I shared it with you. You know, you have a space to say my bad. If you don't say my bad, I still can't hold you to it. Right. But at least you know that there was harm caused in this process. But to exasperate it, to not even tap into the principles of the yamas and niyamas, like, you're tripping. You're tripping. Yeah. This is not just about your physical body. This is about how we treat each other. This is about how we love on each other and how we love on ourselves. Are we offering grace and care and thoughtfulness to one another? Are we making that offering to ourselves? Are we showing up in spaces, acknowledging systemic oppression and being able to identify when we are the curators of manifesting and being the culprits of keeping this shit going and being complicit in our roles to keep these systems operating in the way that they operate?
Right. And I feel like that's just like it's not even genuine. Like, and that makes me question, that would make me question like your whole practice. If like, say like, you know, a person's just like, normally they're an asshole until after yoga. It's just like, all right, everybody has like their shit. Like, and you guys, like, everybody carries their own shit around with them, but that does not excuse being an asshole to somebody, like, or treating somebody like less than a human just because you're having a bad day. Like, that doesn't make any, it doesn't compute, where it's just like, she's always like that until after yoga, and then she's a doll. That, to me, sounds like she's always an asshole, and just like, after she's does yoga, she's just less of an asshole. That asshole is still there. But she's just the like, thing. I'm a relaxed asshole.
But listen, if you practice yoga on Monday, after yoga is Tuesday. So if you a bitch on Tuesday, then obviously not after you practice. It's not, and that's, I think, the point that you're offering. You know, for me, when we talk about centering identities and centering bodies, we have to remember that every body has to deal with trauma.
Right.
Every single body has to deal with trauma on a primary, secondary, tertiary. I don't even know if tertiary is a real word to put here, but I like using it because it sounds so juicy. But like, there are levels. There are levels to the trauma that we experience. And so if we have that understanding, and if we are truly in a practice of yoga, and if we are truly centering humanity at that core practice, then we all have to engage with one another in a way that honors that, right? Sure. And when I think about centering Blackness in yoga, I think about the way that yoga has been colonized and the way that yoga has been taken away from Black people, right? It's a practice that has been kept away from us through access issues, just as housing has been kept from Black people, just as access to food and grocery stores and communities. There's always this level of privilege and who should have access to what. Yoga is the one energy that can exist amongst the realm of humanity. We all have access to this practice. That is the whole essence of it. Every being deserves to get enlightenment. Every being deserves to elevate spirit, to ground self. Every being deserves access to self. We all deserve having access to our bodies, our minds, our spirits, our souls, and what we have come to this world to manifest.
Absolutely.
And so for me, like, the question around centering Blackness, it is complex. And there's no one answer, because we also have to look at Blackness as not this one entity that every person who is Black fits into. Mm-hmm. Right? Blackness is an ever-evolving energy. We have folks who speak multitudes of languages within Blackness. We have folks who come from different cultural parallels in Blackness. And centering Blackness is truly recognizing that this world is fucking anti-Black, okay? It's looking at whiteness as anti-Black and understanding how the development of whiteness has curated a space that won't even allow Black folks to show up in their fullness. Centering Blackness is just acknowledging that you're racist as fuck, and you got a lot of work to do to make sure that the space is truly equitable for all souls that show up. Black trans folks, Black femme, Black queer folks, all Black folks need to have space to just be in their bodies in a safe and loving way. That is how we center Blackness. And centering Blackness looks like understanding that you are fucking racist. If you are white and you are teaching yoga and you are not acknowledging the indigenous origins of the practice, one, if you are not acknowledging the sociological factors that humans have to navigate before getting into the class, if you are not acknowledging how you are complicit in keeping that energy going, what have you done to decenter and decolonize your own experience? What have you done? Because we are all socialized on how to treat Black people. Let's just make that shit clear.
Oh yeah.
We are all told who is deserving. We are all told who has value. We are all told who is the archetype of society and who needs to be elevated. The word fucking nude was of pale skin up until recently.
Mm-hmm.
And we in fucking 2020. Just a few years, you changed the definition of nude. So if we understand that we are socialized to be in a world that elevates whiteness, and you don't acknowledge that in your instruction and in your practice, and you don't acknowledge the indigenous origins of the practice, then you're not making a safe space for humanity. You're complicit in keeping the fuckery going.
Mm. Yeah, that should always confuse me. It's just like, why does it take like a fucking, like, some wild act in order for people, and I hate using the word woke, but in order for like white people to wake up. And I also feel like it's important that we like speak on when we say white people and whiteness. Like,
yes, there's a difference,
right?
There's like energy.
There's like definitely a discernment between white people and whiteness. So, would you like to expound on that with me, or you know, start it and I'll come in?
Yeah, let's hit that. This whiteness is a system, right? So back in the time when the development of whiteness started to be used in laws and policies, it became a political energy that was, I mean, it already existed, it already had a body, but then it was given a name, right? It was given a name to create a hierarchy so that whiteness became the top and blackness became at the bottom. And it's so fucking ridiculous, to be honest with you, because whiteness takes white people away from their cultures in this country. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. You get taken away from your culture and you get lumped into whiteness. Growing up, I heard black, 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 but I didn't hear white, 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 white. Mm-hmm. I was never taught the history of whiteness in this country. I was never taught how to understand. When I was introduced to blackness, I was introduced to blackness from the, first of all, people were calling names. Kids are so fucking mean, that's one. Mm-hmm. The way we internalize the messages about ourselves is so fucked up. Mm-hmm. When I was growing up in New York City, they used to say HBO, Haitian booty scratcher, or Haitian body odor.
Right.
And that shit, when you look at the fundamental root of it, that shit is so fucked up, Jason. You're talking about people. You're talking about bodies, and you're talking about a land that became the first independent black nation that inspired revolts and revolutions around the fucking world for mm-hmm. freedom, right? You're talking about a collective of souls who put their life on the line. You're talking about your ancestors, our ancestors, but that is how the government treated our people. That is how, you know, downtown Brooklyn, they had those warehouses. That is where bodies were kept when folks would try to get into New York. And so we would use these derogatory terms that were literally derogatory terms about our own identity, about who we are. You can't be saying HBO and it's not about yourself.
Right.
And that's the internalization of this, the message around blackness that we all learn in this country. And it's dangerous.
Absolutely.
It is dangerous because then it says, well, I'm not that person. But yes, that is who you are. If you go to West Virginia and they're rounding up all the fucking black people, you right in that, you on that John too.
Yeah.
They're not going to skip over you. You're a part of that energy. So when I think about white people and I think about whiteness, you know, white people are complicit in keeping whiteness ever present. Whiteness is a part of this ideological perspective that says, it's grounded in white supremacist theology, and it's grounded in white supremacist ideology. Theology, I'm talking about the religious energy, mm-hmm. and ideology, I'm talking about the everyday practices, the laws, the understanding, the belief, the racist scientific rationale around, you know, mongoloid, astraloid, negroid, caucasoid, that creation and segmentation of humanity that is not even grounded in fact, Jason. There's no fact to back that up. Right. There is nothing that backs that up. We are just talking about a difference in melanin. Okay? We are talking about migration. Yeah. And you got either extra activated melanin or your shit is on. You know, you're struggling to get a little bit of that vitamin D. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So this joint is leveled. And when I think about whiteness, I think about an insidious system that has been elevated to create disparities in society that is tied to capitalism, that is tied to patriarchy, and that diminishes and devalues human life. And that is something that I do see show up in the yoga world, right? Who gets valued and who's not valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is a painful system because it elevates one's consciousness to think that you are better than another soul. But in truth and in fact, all of our souls are coming from one pot. All of our souls are coming from one pot, the ethers. And when we get here, we inherit whatever this shit is, we inherit this. And then when we die, we transcend back into that energy space. And while we're living, when people say heaven and hell, like while we're living, I don't even have space for heaven and hell. Mm. What I have space for is living a just and righteous life while I'm here, offering love and care while I'm here. And whiteness doesn't allow space for that. And white people have power to dismantle that system. They have been forced into that system. And they can change that system. And that is not just for the betterment of Black people. And that's the thing that I really struggle with when folks, white people, be like, well, I want to help Black people. No, you want to help yourself. You want to help yourself humanize yourself. You want to have greater access to your emotions, greater access to what you've been told about yourself that devalues yourself. White woman, you want greater access to your own power. You want greater access to showing up in space and being valued and treating equally, being treated equally and equitably as white men. How you got a system of whiteness and white women at the bottom of it?
Yeah.
Or maybe white trans folks might be at the bottom of that, right? Depending on if you're adding religion into this conversation about whose body is valuable. That shit is disgusting.
Yeah, it's also, it seems like whiteness also doesn't like to look at itself in the mirror. Like, it'll hold the mirror up to other people for sure. But when it comes time, or when it comes to be their turn to look in the mirror, whiteness never shows up.
And, you know, Jason, we can't even be mad at that, because that's the way that folks have been conditioned in this lifetime.
Right.
So you literally have to step outside of your conditioning to see that there is actually a problem.
Right.
You have to step outside of yourself and actually listen. And the fact is, this era of our existence is pretty dynamic, because you don't got to step too far to figure it out. You don't have to step too far to figure out that something is wrong and that you have the power to shift and change it. But it's the willful ignorance, the cognitive dissonance that is holding humanity back from really actualizing our potential. Mm. There's whiteness as a part of keeping hunger present. Whiteness is a part of keeping a hierarchy within capitalism so that poverty exists, right? Whiteness is a system. It is a system that says whether or not you deserve a loaf of bread and some butter over organic bread and butter. And it's so, for me, it's so disheartening. It really is, Jason, because when I look at the collective spirit of the world, we have a multitude of ingenious energy. Ingenious energy that could propel this earth into a more dynamic place. Not just for our physical bodies, but for the earth itself, for the trees, for the water. How dare any being say that you cannot have access to water when water is of this land, and this land, we are of this land. And if you're religious and you claim Christianity and Catholicism, how could you be a part of a system that devalues life? That's not how I understand Jesus Christ to be. And that's a whole nother conversation Jesus being an ancestor and Jesus being a brother. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so that's a whole nother conversation. That shit has been whitewashed over and over again.
Have you seen the recent, was it like an artist? I can't remember the artist's name, but an artist recently created a picture, a virtual picture of what Jesus would look like. And like, I mean, every so often, like, artist does this, but like this version, I bring it up only because it makes me laugh. People are just like, oh, hot Jesus, because he's like it's a brown skinned man with like curly, like kinky hair and everything like that, and everybody's like, oh, Jesus, like Jesus Bay and all this other shit. And I'm just like, oh, I got people stupid. But that's also supposed to say that, no, like, you know, it's just like these depictions, part of that internalization is just like you have the highest power in Christianity, Jesus Christ, or under God, is Jesus Christ. And then, like, when you have these depictions of Jesus Christ, it's like a white man. And you're a Black person that is Christian, and you see these depictions of, like, you know, Jesus, it makes you, it almost like doubles down on that, like, you're inferior type shit. But then, like, whiteness doesn't even allow whiteness to see how that's fucked up, because not every white person is like, has the same features as Jesus. And Jesus was a fucking poor dude who's going out there helping people. And you have these rich ass televangelists telling people, like, you know, guiding people, being their prophet, speaking the word of Christ, when Christ was like a poor ass dude. And it's just like, don't, but there's that disconnect. People won't see it. And like, it's specifically like whiteness it only works to works in the favor of whiteness, and it keeps white people, mostly poor white people, like it just holds them down and makes them almost beg to be held down even further.
Mm. What do you mean by that?
So it's just like when, like, for example, like white people, especially like poor, like a poor or lower income white people, they tend, and this is just my feeling, they tend to have this feeling as like, well, in the back of their heads, they're thinking, well, at least I'm not black.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I've heard like, that.
Or that they're still better than. So you could be like a black millionaire, black billionaire, and a lower income, a poor white person will still spit on you. But if you were white and a millionaire, they laud you and applaud you. And it's just like, that's the insidiousness of like whiteness, I feel. It's just like how it convinces like white people that regardless, like you can be just like us, but you'll never be like us when you're like, you know, at the top, at the top of the food chain as a white person.
Ooh, Jason, you're hitting that, man. You're talking about a lot of things right there. It reminds me of when Dr. King tried to get poor folks together and was murdered.
Oh, yeah.
Right, was murdered.
Yeah, that's when
murdered.
Yeah, people trying were just to like, get oh, poor no. folks
together.
Yeah,
because the reality is if poor whites understood how the system is working against them, and how the system of whiteness is not in their favor, I do believe that that could cause a significant shift in how we even are able to deal with the insidious nature, not of race and racism, but the insidious nature of capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because it does not advantage, and even the system of whiteness does not advantage all white people. You do have access to power. You do have access to safety in your body. And we're not saying that all white people benefit from this, right?
Right.
Because we do know that poor white folks, they get targeted. They can go through the same levels of trauma in this country. Not the same exact, but we're talking about poverty trauma.
Right.
Right. And so we know that that exists. We also know that the system of whiteness does not uphold values that are ethically grounded in any fucking morality at all. It's not grounded in religion. It's not grounded in spirituality. It is literally grounded in creating a hierarchy and making sure that white elites have access to resources that they need. How do you deplete nations? How did Puerto Rico go through a fucking crisis and you got the fucking president throwing fucking paper towels? Paper towels at people. Paper towels. The fact that you're even throwing anything is the first problem. Second problem, you didn't even really support the redevelopment of infrastructure for a community that should have its own independence in the first fucking place. You know what I'm saying? Whiteness is directly tied to colonization. This idea that we have to conquer. This idea that this must be ours. And so I always laugh when I hear white folks say things like, well, this is my nation. My ancestors came here legally. My ancestors belong to this land. And I'm like, well, I guess we got to do a little lesson here.
It's like, yo, you just said it. You said came here.
Right. And came here legally. The word legally. You know, immigration has taken its turn throughout history. And at many different points in history, who was seen as viable versus not viable has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This border with Mexico doesn't even make sense to me. We fucking have the territory of Mexico is in fucking California. If I'm not mistaken, Nevada is a part of that area. Like, you have land that belongs to a nation and you're telling individuals that they don't have. Jason. The United States claiming that it's America disgusts me. Why? Because Mexico is on North America, so it's American too.
Mm-hmm.
Canada, it's America too. Okay?
Yeah.
We're all on the same fucking continent. We're on the same landmass that actually belongs to indigenous nations, that actually belongs to indigenous people.
Mm-hmm.
And every morning that I wake up, I have to acknowledge the indigenous origins of this land and give thanks to the ancestors who survived the massacre. The ancestors who put themselves on the line for us to even be present in this space, Jason. Mm. That's what whiteness did.
Yeah.
White, and that's what it does. It's an eradication energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it harms white people.
Yeah. You spoke about otherness too, because like, mm-hmm. I mean, like when you, but like specifically when it comes into Mexico being like a part of the Americas, because it's just like, it's like, you don't have like, at least on the map, or at least like, you know, common knowledge. It's not like to say like there's obviously a northern Africa and a southern Africa, like, mm-hmm. you know, just like, you know, sense of like when you look on the map, like, you know, this part is in the north, but in this part is in the south. But like only one country state is South Africa. Like that shit's wild. Like there's the southern half of Africa, but only one state gets to claim South Africa. And we all know who colonized that.
Right.
And then like with America too, how it's just like North America, there's like the United States and Canada, and Mexico mm-hmm. is Central America. Like what mm-hmm. the fuck? Like how is this like little ass strip central, all Central America? Like that othering where it's just like, okay, Canada colonizing white, US mm-hmm. colonizing white. And then mm-hmm. while like Mexico and other Central American countries were like also like colonized, they're still not considered white. They're Mexicans.
Mm. That's what whiteness does.
Yeah.
It's that othering, right? It's the disconnection from humanity. It's the disconnection from being with oneself as a part of the collective.
Mm.
I'm a global citizen, Jason. I was born in this country. And I am also a global citizen. I'm a citizen of this world because I know for a fact, right, within my body, within my spirit, within my soul, that all of humanity is deeply connected on a very intuitive level, on a very cosmic level. We are all connected. And so when I think about the insidiousness of race in this country and systemic oppression, when I think about the ways that it dehumanizes populations of individuals, when I think about the ways it body shames souls,
mm.
when I think about the ways that it tells us this is how you should be, and if you're not this way, then that's problematic. I feel great sadness and I feel great hurt in my heart because everybody should have access to their body in the way that the universal law has designed it. You know, there is no one archetype for humanity. And even with religion, God revealed God's self to different portions of humanity at different times. There is no one omnipotent religion. There is no one way of looking at the universal all. There is no one righteous way of being in this world. We have to tap into our cultural essence. And that has been taken away from us.
Mm.
It's not lost. Let's be clear, it is not lost. Because wherever there is a body, there is that energy.
Mm-hmm.
But there are distractions that keep us away from it, which is why I love the practice of yoga, which is why I love the act of centering the body and allowing breath to course through your body, which is why I love the idea of letting your mind slow down so that you can get better connected to yourself and truly reconnected to the energy of what exists around us. It is a very powerful tool. Powerful tool for self-acceptance and self-love.
Mm.
It is a powerful tool for connecting with humanity. And so when we talk about centering Blackness, that shit needs to be all the way decolonized, period, point blank. You need to honor the indigenous origins, period, point blank. And you need to elevate a consciousness that is aware that you are combating a social energy that tells you how to treat people. And you have to fight that socialization so that you can embrace a new way of engaging humanity.
Mm.
Period.
Absolutely.
Period, point blank. And I know my consciousness is evolving in the way I see this. So this is what I'm offering today. But I know that tomorrow I may have a different offering, right? I may have a different, more evolved way. But the foundation of it always is, it's about humanizing our experience.
Right.
It's about soul to soul acceptance and acknowledgement. If you believe in the soul, I can't tell you to believe in the soul because some people don't. But this being right here, this Sheba, this heartivist, we believe in soul energy.
Mm.
and we believe in presence. There's a reason I had an opportunity to meet Chadwick Boseman, to learn from Chadwick, and to evolve my consciousness and my Blackness when I was growing into myself as a college student. That literally shaped how I approached my coursework, how I approached conversations, my artistry. It was a point of recognition for me that Blackness is vast, right? That Blackness is ever evolving. And that Black people continue to literally manifest resilience and continue to show the fuck up. Mm. We show up, Jason. Now, it don't mean that we show up in everything. And it doesn't mean that there's a perfection energy around Blackness.
Right.
What it means is that we are humans who understand that we deserve to be present in this world. Mm. We know that we're lit, yo. Black people are lit as fuck, man. The creativity always blows my mind.
It's like creativity, especially in time, like tumultuous times, or like in times where it's just like, it seems that like, at least on some metaphysical level, we're being most oppressed. It seems that that's when Black expression and Black creativity seems to especially shine.
Whoa. And it's dynamic and powerful and soul-centered. There's a reason we call it rhythm and soul, right? There's a reason that you call it neo-soul, the music, because it's music that speaks to the heart and to the mind. And that, again, is already cosmic energy coming back into this earth. So for me, I lift up my Black folks, all the Black folks on this call. I love you. I appreciate you. I appreciate your heart and the work that you're doing to stay present and to show up every fucking day in a system that tells you that you don't belong here. And I'm telling you, this is yours. This is our space. We belong. And I lift up our Indigenous folks who might be listening to this joint. Like you, this is your land, period, point blank. And I'm honored to even be present here to honor your life force. And to our white people on this call who are listening to this podcast, yo, keep evolving. Keep doing it for the sake of humanity. Keep deconstructing your consciousness and decolonizing your spirit. This is for the sake of yourself. You're not doing it for me. You're doing it for your self-evolution. And for all folks on this call, we have to decolonize the messages that we've been given about ourselves. We deserve to be here, period, point blank. And to be honest, Jason, nobody could tell me different.
Feel you. So, I mean, given everything that's happening, everything that has happened, and everything that will happen, how do you find joy knowing that fuckery is abound? And we are all on this like journey to unfuck ourselves. Like, where do you find the joy in that unfuckering? The grand unfuckering.
The grand unfuckering. Yo, every morning that I wake up, I give thanks. I call out to the universe and I give thanks. And for me, that is a practice of acknowledging that I was offered another day to be present, another day to catch breath, another day to sight the trees dancing, another day to see rain fall on this earth. And so for me, joy comes in every fucking moment of acceptance. So a part of it is like there are practical things that I do, right? I have a really beautiful community of souls who continue to just offer humanity greatness. Like my homegirl's doing this really dope Independence Day, Trinidad Independence Day celebration today. That shit brings me joy. I'm about to eat roti today. Oh, that's bringing me joy. Yes, Jason, you. I'm about to eat roti. I'm about to have a roti today and have extra roti skins in my freezer. That brings me joy, okay? Mm. Watching, like, when I go on Instagram and I see all the love that folks are pouring and all the love about self that people are doing. When I see people deconstructing this notion of pride, that shit brings me joy. We should always be elevating ourselves. We should always be honoring and acknowledging what we have done that is dynamic and powerful. That is food and inspiration. What brings me joy is being able to talk to my nieces and nephews. You know, being able to cook a meal inside of my kitchen, that brings me joy. Now, the thing with joy is like, joy doesn't have to only exist by itself. It can exist in pain. It can exist in hurt. Like, I'm hurting for the loss of this soul I'm hurting for the loss of many souls that continue to get murdered by the hands of this fucking state-sanctioned violence situation that we're constantly and have eternally been dealing with from the inception of this country. That pain is still ever present. And also the joy of being able to acknowledge that we have been offered space, that our ancestors have made space for us to be here. The fact that I was talking to you today, that shit brings me joy. So the way that I look at joy is as an ever-present energy that can be present even in pain. And it's something that my family really taught me. We'll be at funerals for loved ones and somebody whipping out the spades cards. You know, somebody getting ready to play spades. You got the one uncle who's just dancing and doing his thing to the soca music. You know, we have people who are having riveting conversations in the next corner. You know, you have the kids outside playing. So even in the hurt, we've been able to elevate joy. And that's something that I've carried with me for a long time, because anything could happen at any point, Jason. And for Black folks in this country, a lot of us know what it's like to have wait for the shoe to drop. Something beautiful happens, but you waiting because it might go down and it might be taken away from you at any point, and you have no control over it. And so at every minute, I implore all of us who are listening to elevate those moments that put a little smile on our face. Even when the wind catches your arm, like, I love the wind. Shout out to the wind, okay? The Imale wind, shout out to you. I appreciate you. When a breeze passes my body, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the sensation and for the acknowledgement of being able to catch that energy and be aware of that energy. So really, my joy comes from a lot of things in my everyday life. And I elevate that shit. And I also acknowledge and elevate my sadness, my grief, my hurt, my pain. Because I know that even with all those things, it's not the only blanket that covers me at night.
Right. Yeah, because you can't have, like, one without the other, and, like, or else, like, either one of them ends up being pointless. And it's just, like, there has to be, like, this balance. So, like, joy doesn't exist exclusively of pain.
Right.
It's, like, joy, pain, it's all kind of part of the same gumbo, if you will.
Yeah.
You like
We're
that?
All in relationship. Happiness, joy, excitement, frustration, exuberance. You know, all these energies reside together. They can be segmented by definition, and moments in our lives can be really, we can point out the sadness. We can point out the pain. We can point out the hurt. We can point out the trauma. Just as we can point out the joy. It might take more cultivating, because, in this society, we are socialized with pain. We are socialized through our traumas. We are socialized with fear. So it takes a lot of work to find that joy. And that's what the practice of yoga has offered me, is greater access to my joy space. Because it's in everything. Jason, a cold glass of water? Yo, that should be getting me hype.
Yeah. Especially over the summer? Oh.
What? Come on, are you thirsty? And then, you know, because I haven't been, I'm not a cold water drinker, but this summer, during my pregnancy, cold water has been giving me life. When I have a cold glass of water, my toes are moving. You know, the little kid that's sitting and eating something good, their feet moving, their head moving, their body moving. That's me with a glass of water. With a tall glass of iced water. It's just bringing me joy.
It's funny, it's because sometimes that's all it takes. It's just like the little things. Like, you can't really look over the little simple mundane things. It's just like a cold glass of water. And also, like, the luxury and privilege it is to have a cold glass of water. Like, also bringing that into the room and appreciating that. Like,
yes, and acknowledging it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I know a lot of folks who might have a tender space, and it's hard for them to hear the other side of that space, right? So, like, last year I experienced a miscarriage, and I had so many friends who were pregnant during that time. And they were so kind and caring. And, you know, I could feel the energy of, like, I don't want to talk about how joyful my pregnancy is because you're going through this thing. But I'm like, no, I want to hear how joyful your pregnancy is, you know, because I'm going through this thing. I want to hear the joy that's coming to your heart, to your life. You know, a part of radical acceptance is acknowledgement that there are going to be energies that are yours, and there are going to be energies that happen outside of you, and that there are going to be energies that you get to hear about that are valid and that are beautiful, even in your time of pain. We can still elevate and lift up. We can still elevate and lift up another person's joy, even in our pain. And that's something for me that I value. I wholeheartedly value that, you know, and there's an acknowledgement and an awareness. And there's a lot of work that goes into that. Again, it's the way that we are socialized to be with one another. We have to deconstruct that socialization and bring us back to the forefront of our humanity. And in doing so, we can offer each other greater access to ourselves and greater access to our joy spaces, to our tenderness, and to normalizing that shit is wild. And you have a right to respond in whatever the fuck way you need to respond. Mm. And not judge, be judged, or feel like somebody's coming for you.
Yeah, that's just deep. we just went like a roller coaster down a spiral. Yeah. And then like right back the fuck up.
Yeah. Yo, Jason, this conversation is not even finished, right?
No, it's the end.
This is like a 5 million quadrillion for the rest of our lifetime conversation. Yeah. And even in the next lifetime, we're still talking about the same thing.
All right. Well, in this lifetime, I'm definitely going to bring you back on so we could talk some more shit about some more shit. I want to give you space to plug or promote anything you got going on or anything you think people listening might need to know about.
Yeah, thank you. Definitely check out Yoga Motive, spelled YOGAMOTIF. I do a lot of collaborations with Alicia. Her spirit is dope, and she is offering a really dope twerk shop coming up September 15th, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. But there are going to be other twerk shops in the future. I feel it in my spirit because twerking does save lives. Shout out again to Yoga Roots on Location for the work that Felicia Lane Savage Friedman is doing in collaboration with society and humanity. You know, she said to us, I'm trying to get it one soul at a time. I'm saving one soul at a time. And I feel that energy and spirit. And so Felicia is definitely on. Check out the website. There's a lot of opportunities for professional development, for folks to get engaged, to rehumanize their experience, to really be one with themselves and understand how to be one with one another, to be in right relationship with self and right relationship with others. I want to shout out to Carrie Organic Mechanic, making these bomb as fuck teas that folks can really get down with for their spirit energy. And really just shout out to humanity, yo. And shout out to Jason. Shout out to you, Jason. Y'all need to keep listening to Jason McCoy, yo. Y'all need to keep listening to Jason's podcast. Jason is about to flip this shit upside down, and we all need to have some great access to, like, checking in with the fuckery, having straight real talk, and being honest with ourselves about where we are. And what doesn't resonate with you, that's cool. And what resonates with you, that's amazing. Take what you need from any engagement with any energy and anybody. So I'm really shouting you out, Jason, too, because this is really a dope space that you're curating. And shout out to myself. Check me out. Sheba Sheba 7, S-H-E-B-A, S-H-E-B-A, the number 7 on Instagram. And I love y'all, yo.
Cool. Yeah. And I'll make sure that everybody gets those links in the description below. That comes with the podcast and also on the website.
Awesome. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, no problem.
And thank you for this time together, man. And I really appreciate what you're offering the world and offering us Black creatives so that we can really get an opportunity to speak our heart. This is the hardest work, you know? And so I'm grateful for it. So thank you.
Cool. Yeah. You know, like, I mean, that's what I said. I just wanted to get these voices out here and heard. Yeah. And so I appreciate it. And you, I don't take compliments well, but I'm learning. So I thank you. And I appreciate you, Sheba.
Yes, brother. Thank you.
Cool. And one question, last question before you go. What is Black?
Black is universal energy, universal law. Black is love, thoughtfulness, kindness. Black is reciprocity, accountability. Black is abundance. Black is joy. Black is thoughtfulness. Black is reframing and reshaping trauma. Black is understanding trauma. Black is understanding self. Black is ever evolving. Black is dynamic. Black is powerful. Black is no one thing that any being could ever present in this world. Black is eternal. Black is the origin of humanity. Black is the space in which lightness can prevail. Black is the joy space of all beings and presences in this world. Black is where the moon takes its rest and shows us its presence. Black is love and unconditional care. Black is eternal. Black is universal, is God work, is soul work, is spirit work. Black is, period, point blank with a T at the end, period.
Damn it, now all that shit was off the top, y'all. Give it up for Shiva. Shout out to you. And thank you for being on the podcast, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Big Brother. I appreciate you, yo.
All right, peace.
Peace out, souls.
Thanks for listening to the What is Black podcast, a McCoy Creative Project. For more information and bullet notes that provide deeper context, check out the field notes on whatisblackpodcast.com. Your support is always much appreciated, so if you want to toss us a few dollars to keep this going, visit ko-fi.com/whatisblackpodcast. That's Ko-fi, spelled ko-fi.com/whatisblackpodcast. If you don't have the loop, that's cool. Support us by sharing this with your people, following us on Spotify, or rating us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. If you drop us 5 stars, we might just shout you out and answer your general questions on Black giftedness. If you need to contact us, hit up whatisblackpod@gmail.com or on Instagram at whatisblackpodcast. Big shout outs to Mr. Maga and John Burt Sanders for dropping 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and leaving the dope reviews. Much appreciated. And to quote the voice of a generation bugging out, stay black. Peace.